Good morning, Hope Church. I sure enjoyed the worship time, and thank you, Pastor Zach, for making announcements. And as you know, we've been in a series in the seven statements, the last words that Jesus said on the cross. And this morning we come to the fifth word. So it's been 6 hours that Jesus has been on the cross, and in the final moments, he makes three statements. One of those is a word that we'll just call humanity. It's simple. Jesus reminds us that he felt, and he says this, "I'm thirsty." In John chapter 19, there's a context here, and Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he says, "After this." What does he mean, after this? Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. After this, well, basically, Jesus knew everything had been completed. He says, so that the scriptures would come true, he said, "I am thirsty." There was a jar full of vinegar there, so the soldiers soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a branch of hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' mouth. This is interesting. At the end of the sixth hour, Jesus says, "I'm thirsty." But remember, hours earlier, the soldiers offered him something to drink and they turned it down. So why did he turn that down, and why does he say, "I'm thirsty" now? Let me read to you something in Mark chapter 15, verse 23. This is immediately after they put him on the cross. The soldiers tried to give Jesus wine mixed with myrrh to drink, but he refused. So 6 hours earlier, Jesus refused. And the reason for that is that this wine mixed with myrrh was a painkiller. Hey, just for a moment, think about when Jesus was born and the wise men came and brought Jesus gifts. Remember that? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Each of these predicted that he was going to be a king. He would be a priest, and he would die. But myrrh was the thing that you gave people who were dying in pain. Why would the executioners try to give Jesus when they put him on the cross? I think we know why. Crucifixion is excruciating, and it would go on for hours and hours. And the soldiers had to wait until the person on the cross died before they were allowed to leave. And I read this. A criminal who was hung on the cross literally could scream for hours. These soldiers didn't want to hear the screams. They didn't want to hear the screams of somebody on the cross for hours and hours and hours. So after they nailed him to the cross and tried to help him not to scream, they would give them a drug that would help the people on the cross to be able to endure that. And why did Jesus refuse that when they offered it to him? I think it's because he wanted to feel every ounce, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual anguish. He refused a drink that he would be drugged on that cross. In his final moments, he says, "I am thirsty." And in John chapter 19, after this, after paying for our sins, after God's justice had been satisfied, after the scriptures had been fulfilled, he pays the price for you and me. Remember, just before this, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, this statement, "I am thirsty," has a couple of meanings, but this is the only time that Jesus talks about his pain. I mean, he was beaten. They made a crown of thorns and they crushed it upon his head. They tore out his beard. The Bible says that he was whipped 40 times with a cat of nine tails, and that's 360 lacerations on his back before he ever went to the cross. His back was bloody. He'd gone 12 hours without water. He's dehydrated, a loss of blood. All of this but he says, I'm thirsty. Couple of reasons I think he says I'm thirsty. One of those has to do with prophecy, has to do with things that were told before. In verse 28 of John 19, it says, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Okay, let's just park here for a minute or two. I read that there are over 380 predictions, prophecies about the one who is the Messiah. Jesus fulfilled every one of those. Let me just give you a couple of examples. The Bible says he would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus had no control over this, but he was born in Bethlehem. They said he would be taken to Egypt as a young baby, and he was. They said he would be raised in Nazareth, and he was. Prophecy said that he would do miracles. Oh, and Jesus did a lot of them. He'd raise the dead. Prophecies in the Old Testament said that he would be betrayed by a friend, falsely accused by the innocent, and Jesus was. There's even a prophecy that says that Jesus would be hung on a cross. The problem with this is that this prediction in the Bible was 1,000 years before the Romans ever invented crucifixion. What is a cross? For hundreds of years, Jesus even knew what that meant. But it was predicted that Jesus would die on the cross. There was a prophecy that said he would be tortured and they would gamble for his clothes, and they did. It said none of his bones would be broken, and they weren't. You know, the Roman soldiers would want to break your legs, and that way you would sink down and suffocate so they didn't have to hear those screams. But Jesus died before they could even do that. The Bible says he would be buried in a rich man's tomb that was never used. And that also came true. Here's a hard one. The Bible says that he would come back from the dead in 3 days. And he did. At this point, we see Jesus dying on the cross, and there's a couple of prophecies, there's predictions that need to be fulfilled. And one of those was that Jesus needed to say, I am thirsty. In Psalm 69, it reads like this. When I was thirsty, they offered me vinegar. Practically, he was thirsty, but this had to be fulfilled. This prophecy is another reminder that, in fact, Jesus was and is the Messiah. Here's something else. Jesus loves you and me enough that we know when he says, I'm thirsty, that he understands pain. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus gave up the place with God and made himself nothing. He was to be born of a man and become a servant. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on the cross. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? You know how much he loves me? Enough that he understands our pain, that he felt pain. He understands the pain you're going through right now. He knows what it's like to be physically hurt. He knows what it's like to be emotionally hurt. He knows what it's like to be spiritually separated from the Father. And Jesus, hanging on that cross, says, I understand humanity. At this point, I am thirsty. Think about the irony in this. Who invented water? Who is the creator of H2O? It's God. God, who created everything, is the one who's saying, I'm thirsty. I mean, he could have done a miracle and had just a cup of water appear and he could drink it. He could have had it rain. He could have done anything to quench his thirst. But instead, and hey, friends, this is so important. Jesus shows God's love enough for you and me that he actually, and I've said this already, but he feels our pain. In Isaiah 53, it says this: "Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrow that weighed him down. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." How many wounds do you think that Jesus had when he was on the cross? We know at least a couple of them. He had 2 wounds in his hands, 2 in his feet, 1 on his side. We know there were wounds on his head because of the thorns. We know there were wounds on his back. Jesus is not immune to pain. We know there was emotional pain as well. Discouragement from defeat. Disappointment from rejection. Jesus was thirsty so we might live life with meaning and purpose. Friends, we've made it another week, and things are still hard in the community, and even now we're practicing social distance. But I know this. When I think about the cross, I think about how much you're loved and how much I'm loved. And when it gets hard and we're frustrated, please be reminded that Jesus understands our humanity because of his humanity. He was thirsty. Truth is, we're all thirsty for something. Many times we're looking to fill that void in our hearts with things that don't satisfy us. Come on, have you ever said, "Hey, I'm bored, I'm dissatisfied, I feel empty, I just need more, just one more thing, just one more thing, just one more thing." And the truth is, everything in this world, everything's going to let us down. But the one who hung himself up on the cross really is the answer to our thirst, really is the answer to our satisfaction. Listen to what Psalm 63 says. Verse 1, "Oh God, you are my God, and I long for you. My whole being desires you like a dry, worn out, and waterless land. My soul thirsts for you." It is true that only God can satisfy our needs. He made us. He wants us to be fulfilled. And when things are tough in our lives, he wants us to be reminded, "I am still God and I understand. I understand when it's hard. My son died for you on the cross. But before he died, he said, 'I'm thirsty.'" Jesus talked to a woman in the book of John who struggled a lot. And he said this to her, but it's really for you and me as well. "Anyone who drinks this water," meaning the water out of a well, "they'll become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Jesus has been on the cross a long time. He's very thirsty. He's been in a lot of pain, and this is the very first time he talks about the physical pain. "I am thirsty." Why was he thirsty? So that prophecy could be fulfilled. Why was he thirsty? So you today will understand, when you're feeling pain and you're feeling frustration and when you're struggling, that Jesus cared enough to enter into our world to feel what we feel. I love that about Jesus. He understands. He knows what we're going through. What a gift we have been given in Him. He felt thirsty so that you today could have your thirst quenched. In a moment, I want to pray for us. I want to thank God for you, but I also want to pray that He will give you strength this week, that He will give you encouragement this week. Remember, at Hope Church, as your pastors and your friends, we care about you. We look forward to Wednesday night when we get together and have Bible study. We look forward to the time where you can go to Zoom and we can pray for the needs of our community and around the world, and we can pray for one another. But if you could do me a favor today, and please remember that you're not alone, that Jesus understands. He cares about you so much, and He wants to bless your life and to keep you satisfied. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you feel our pain and you know what it's like to suffer. Everything that you went through, you did that for us. I pray for my friends who are watching now. I pray for those who belong to Hope Church. I pray, oh God, for anyone who is viewing right now, that they would sense your presence, that they would know that you're a God who cares and you're a God who makes the difference. God, I pray that when we thirst spiritually, we would look to you. When we thirst mentally and we're struggling, that we would receive strength from you. Emotionally, God, would you help us, I pray. God, we don't want to be like that woman at the well who was digging deeper, deeper, deeper to try to find meaning. We want to drink from the fruit of you. God, thank you that there is a river, there is a water that we can drink from that will actually satisfy us. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would bless these friends. God, that you would keep them close to you, that you would radiate about them. Lord, that you would give them peace that comes from knowing you. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray. Amen. Got something special coming up. As soon as I'm finished, we're going to give you the kind of the next week's preview. But also, next week, we're going to receive communion together. Now, we have purchased a little communion cup with the wafer that we'll have set up out in front of the church, and you can have a little plastic glove if you don't want to touch one of those. And if you're anywhere in the area, you can come by and get one. Or we encourage you at some point this week to have a little bit of grape juice and some crackers, because next week we are going to have communion together. God bless you so much. We'll see you again.